We are kicking off hour number three here on the Morning Tailgate with Once a Raider, Always a Raider. And joining us this week is none other than Grant Irons, former Silver and Black defensive end. Good morning, Grant. How are we?
Hey, good morning, Vince. How you doing?
We are fantastic. We are turning the page on a work week here with the Raiders. Yes. But before we dive into that, and believe me, we will dive into that, what did it mean to you to wear the silver and black and call yourself a Raider?
It meant everything. I mean, you got to understand from where I come from. My father, you know, I'm a legacy Raider, right? And so my father, he played with the Raiders, and a lot of his teammates ended up being my coaches when I played with the Raiders. So you talk about Fred Bolinikoff. You know, you think about Art Shell. A lot of different players that he played with ended up being my coaches. So when I had the opportunity and the honor to play for the Raiders, it was a dream come true.
And the Raiders do such a great job with their alumni. Once a Raider, always a Raider. And that's why this segment is always so special every week. Grant, we got to obviously talk about what happened on Sunday, and I feel like having you on the show is so appropriate right now, because we're here wondering, you know, I'm sure you heard what Antonio Pierce said about the business decisions that he felt players were being made. You know, Devontae Adams called it maybe living to see another day after it was a blowout, and trying to make, you know, play prudently in order to be able to do that, not get yourself hurt out there. But when the coach says that as publicly as Antonio Pierce said it, and he had every right to say it, I'm not saying that he doesn't, but I do wonder in the locker room how that lands in the locker room.
Well, this is the time, you know, for us, and we're 1-2. Every single player, every single coach, it's a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to look themselves in the mirror and say, hey, this is a standard of play that is unacceptable. We have to step up. So for us, as a team, as Raiders, as the Raider Nation, there's a certain level of excellence, commitment to excellence, that we have to hold each other accountable for. So if we're not each and every player, every single play, every single down, not going out with a max out, full out effort, then we need to make some adjustments and step up. So for us, hey, I liked it. I mean, it's a wake up call for everybody. Is that what we've been putting out on the field is not acceptable. We need to step up.
It's Grant Irons here with us on the Morning Tailgate. And when going with that, what did you kind of like glean from that? I mean, what was more troubling as a former defensive end, that you couldn't get pressure on the quarterback, or that they were getting beat in the secondary? What do you think is the most troubling from that kind of loss against the Panthers?
I mean, I think collectively. I mean, it's all the above. I mean, you think about football. I mean, it's all three phases: offense, defense, and special teams. But on the defense, specifically, you know, each player, it's like everybody's dependent on everybody. And so if one player is out of sync or is not giving a full effort, it's going to affect the rest of the defense. And so, and I think that's for us, I think seeing that as fans and fans of the game, all we want to do is want to see is maximum effort, Max Crosby type effort, every single play, every single game.
We're talking to Grant Irons here. Once a Raider, always a Raider. Grant, you mentioned, you know, you are a legacy Raider.
Yes.
Your father, the late, great Gerald Irons, played for the Raiders and their upcoming opponent this week in the Cleveland Browns. I'm curious, before we look too far ahead to that actual game, what a moment that must have been for you the first time you show up to Oakland, you put on that jersey. Can you talk about what that moment or what those conversations were like between you and your dad?
It was amazing. So, I mean, growing up, you got to understand, like, a lot of the things that I grew up on, a lot of the mentality, the mindset. Dude, he always taught mindset. My mother and my father, you know, they were high school sweethearts, married 50 years. But I grew up around, you know, Raymond Chester, Art Shell, Fred Bolinikoff. I mean, just those are, like, I used to have, you know, some of my bedtime stories were of the Macker receptions and just Kenny Stabler. And so, you know, you got to think about, for me, you know, I'm a proud graduate, University of Notre Dame. And then once I graduated and then I played with the Buffalo Bills, but then coming to the Raiders, oh, it was a dream come true. I was pumped to wear that silver and black. And now to have the Raider Nation, like, come on. Anywhere I fly a lot. I fly a lot around the country. Everywhere I go, it's like Raider Nation is everywhere. So for us, you know, to wear that silver and black, and to be, you know, be once a Raider, always a Raider, it means so much to myself, so much to my family and so much to my teammates that played for the Raiders.
The pride of the Woodlands, a great high school program in the Woodlands, Texas.
Yeah.
Also Notre Dame and former Raider Grant Irons. And Grant, you know, Clay had brought up, you know, not getting pass rush pressure and, mm-hmm. and the struggles that they had on the back end. But I want to go to the run defense. And this is three straight games now where the Raiders defense has given up over 100 yards rushing. That was supposed to be a strength of the team. And I don't want to put all the blame on the defensive line because that's not appropriate. But it does start at the defensive line and the point of attack. And how angry would you be as a defensive line going into week four knowing that the defense has given up over 100 yards rushing in every single game?
Hey, I would be pissed. I mean, point blank. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, it's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why, like, you think about in the offseason, we do the training, we push the sleds. Like, why do we sacrifice blood, sweat, and tears in the offseason? You know, to go 1-2. You do all that work and put all that extra time and effort into it to put out a great product, you know, and play for wins, right? So if each and every play you're not going out 100%, I mean, it's something we got to make some adjustments. And so for us, like on the defense, every single player has to look within themselves. Hey, what do I need to do to live up to the standard of the Raiders, of the commitment to excellence? And go back to the basics. That's what it's about.
When you think about the basics, and maybe you could kind of describe, you know, not only your relationship with Al Davis, but your family's relationship with Al Davis. And what's your favorite memory of those times together, not only with your family, but when you joined the Silver and Black?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, for me, I have so much respect for Al Davis, so much respect for Mark Davis. I mean, Al Davis, man, he was so brilliant. He was a visionary. And, you know, I remember from when my dad would bring me around to, like, I live in the Woodlands, Texas, and when we played the Houston Oilers at the time, it was Houston, he would bring me up, you know, night before the game, go to the hotel where all the players, are at. I'm running to Howie Long. I'm running to, you know, they were like superheroes to me, right? And it was always about family. Like every single time I would see, even when I played, right, Al Davis, he remembered those times when I was a little kid to come around. He would always, before, and I would see him around the building, and he would be the first question he already asked, hey, how's your family doing? How's your mom? How's your dad doing? And then he would get into, hey, we're playing Kansas City Chiefs this week. Make sure you get a jam on Tony Gonzalez. It's like, if I'm on my mind, I'm listening and talking to Mr. Davis. I'm like, wow, this is a dream come true. That's Mr. Davis. I'm like, so for me, it was like an out-of-body experience to experience that, and I will always be forever grateful to Mr. Davis, to Mark Davis, and just, you know, just the Raiders in general. Like, I'm passionate about it because the Raiders mean so much to me, just like they mean so much to Raider Nation.
That's incredible. That's an incredible story. Curious, you know, we sat there, and all morning we've kind of asked the question, mm-hmm. what are we going to see out of this Raiders team on Sunday? And unfortunately, we all kind of came up empty on what we're going to expect, just because we've seen such highs, such lows, and more lows than I think the Raider Nation would like to see 3 weeks in. I'm curious where you stand as somebody who's been in those locker rooms that, you know, when a coach says the things that he does and understands how players are going to respond. I know you're not in this room particular, but you've been there. What do you expect to see Sunday?
You know what? Honestly, I expect a whole different team. I expect a team that comes out with a fire, with a passion, right? Like, we know what happened the first 3 weeks. Hey, in the NFL, it's a one, like, you got to take one game at a time, 1 week at a time. So whatever's happened in the past, hey, put that to the past. We got to be focused in the present. So this game, Cleveland Browns, is a perfect opportunity and a perfect challenge to this team to step up, put on a whole different type of effort, and let's show what the Raiders are truly about, and let's get back on track. We can do it.
Yeah, that it could be a turning point moment. You know, absolutely. Grant, I want to switch gears just a little bit because obviously, you know, playing at Notre Dame, playing at a high level mm-hmm. of football in college, here locally, the UNLV quarterback, I don't know if you've heard this story yet, Matt Sluka, mm-hmm. The starting quarterback of a 3-0 team that's number 23 in the country facing Fresno State on Saturday up and leaves the team. And there seems to be an NIL snafu. I don't know who to believe right now, whether the player and his representatives are saying that UNLV committed to a certain amount of money to him that they have not delivered. And there's other reporting saying that he's maybe gotten a better deal from another school and wants to preserve his 1 year left of eligibility by not exhausting his redshirt year this year. It's a he said, she said type of a situation right now.
Right.
But in the bigger sense, the whole introduction of NIL to college football, I think we can all agree that college players deserve to be paid without question.
Absolutely.
But, man, what we're starting to see is the wild, wild west. What are you making of the NIL as presently constructed? And do you think that there needs to be some uniformity that's introduced to this whole thing?
I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, it is the wild, wild west. I mean, I do my brother and myself. My brother, he was, you know, two-time captain, University of Michigan, named Jared Irons. You know, I was a two-time captain at Notre Dame. Like, we talk about it all the time. You know, it's the wild, wild west. And now's the time, hey, there needs to be some regulation that's implemented to really kind of help on both sides, on all sides.
Yeah.
Because people don't know which way to go, how to deal with it. And everybody's learning on a on an everyday basis because there's no regulations. They don't understand how this works and how it impacts so many different parties. So I think it would be helpful if we did have some type of regulations. But in the meantime, I always go back, regardless of, like, what's off the field, it always got to come back to the basics. It's got to come back to the love of the game. Hey, whatever happens off the field is off the field. But when you walk into that locker room, when you walk into that in those doors on that field, you put all that to the side. Now let's focus on the game of football, the love of the game, executing, you know, X's and O's, and now let's play to win the game. That's it.
Your father, Gerald Irons, was on the field for what is known as the Immaculate Deception. What was his takeaway after years have gone by and you see the footage over and over again? What did he talk about from that moment?
Man, he would always, because that's one, like I said, it was one of my bedtime stories, right? And so, you know, he was just talking about how it was just, he would literally, when you see the replay, like he's literally in the middle of that play when the ball popped up before Franco Harris catches it at the very last second, number 86. And he had no, like, you guys, Jack Tatum, you know, is known for vicious hits, and he made that big hit. The ball pops up, and he was just in disbelief. Like, he couldn't believe it. Like, it was one of those things that, like, they thought, you know, when it happened, it was a surreal type of moment. And so, and, you know, my brother Jared and I, this past month, we had actually the opportunity to go to the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And literally that play is in the Hall of Fame. And it's like, wow. And we saw our dad, like, literally, like, right there, like, in the picture. And it was amazing. So,
what a powerful moment. What a powerful moment that must have been. Grant Irons, once a Raider, always a Raider. We could talk to you for the full 3 hours. And, you know, one day I think we might have to set that up, Clay. But thank you so much for your time this morning.
One thing, Vince. I just want to say thank you to you, the great work that you all do. But also I want to say thank you to Mark Davis, Sandra Douglas Morgan, and also to the Alumni Relations Department. They are the best of the best, led by Shannon Jordan, you know, Callie, Lindsay, and Katie. They're the best. So I just want to say thank you to them because they really make, like you say, once a Raider, always a Raider. They truly believe that, and they do what's best for the Raiders. And so we appreciate that as a former player.
We appreciate you. Oh, we believe it. They live it. You live it. And, again, that was fantastic stuff. Grant Irons, thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Hey, I appreciate y'all. Go Raiders. Let's get it.
Yes. Grant Irons.
How about those stories? Could you imagine being brought? Your dad brings you to his hotel, and you're running into Howie Long. Grant's a big guy.
Yeah.
Grant's a big guy, but in high school, I don't know if he hit his growth spurt just yet. He was probably looking up like, what a moment.
And to think, like, that's your other family. That's your extended family is this silver and black team coming into Houston to play the Oilers. And you are now part of this this group forever. And now to be a legacy Raider, it's this great double dip that I think is really awesome. And what a crazy weekend for him because there's a Browns history also. Mm-hmm. With his father as well.
Yeah, his dad was a captain of the Cleveland Browns, one of the top 50 guys that's ever played for the Cleveland Browns. Like, an incredible. Did that not give you goosebumps when he sits there and says him and his brother went into Canton and saw a picture of his dad? Like,
with number 86.
My goodness.
That's great.
Yeah, enshrined forever in the greatest moments of NFL history.
This is why I love this segment. Every Wednesday, mm-hmm. this is Appointment love Radio it. Nation. This is Appointment Radio. I mean, where else are you going to hear those stories and those moments and things like that? Once a Raider, always a Raider. Every Wednesday, we'll be bringing to you different stories, different alumni.
Yeah. I think alumni covers it.
It's one of my...
Alumnus would be an individual,
just one, right?
Yeah,
Clay was trying to educate me on that.
But again, yeah, thank you to the alumni department.
Absolutely.
Everybody in there does Callie, such a great job.
Callie has been the MVP so far, getting us set up, and everybody
sure.
over there.
Thank you, Callie.
But it's one of the segments, as much as I look forward to talking to you guys every single day, this is one of the moments I look forward to every single week. So that was some great conversation, and he kind of answered the question that we couldn't. Guys, mm-hmm. what do we expect Sunday in the giant mystery box that is Allegiant Stadium? He expects a completely different team to show up. And that's fantastic. You hope that's the case, considering what we saw Sunday in terms of, you know, the competitiveness and seeing what this team is capable of. But he said it with confidence, Clay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that this is going to be an about-face, a turnaround, an emotional turnaround. And you would think, like, all the problems that you saw 7 days previous, you won't see against this team on Cleveland's. And Cleveland has this moment where they just got a stunning loss, too. They lose to the Giants the way they did. They're looking at this game as a get-right game for themselves.
There's two teams asking questions this week, Vinny. The two teams that are asking questions. The Raiders, obviously... maybe a little more than Cleveland. But as Clay said, I mean, that was a pretty convincing kind of gut check moment for them this past week as well. They're dealing with injuries. Myles Garrett is a question
their
mark heading
line.
Into Sunday. Their offensive line is almost...
But even with all that, not sure what to expect from the Raiders.
Yeah. You know what fans are hoping to see.
Of course. Absolutely.
And while you... You expect,
and to Clay's point, what you think you're going to see.
You think you're going to see things fixed. You would expect things.
I know, but the word expect is troubling for me right now. Because I don't, you know, we've all covered teams in the past, Clay, where you're like, yeah, they're going to respond. Because past track records is that they don't lose three straight games. You know, like the Lakers back in the day. Yeah, they're going to respond. Kobe's going to go off for 45 points. They're going to make somebody pay for what just happened in Minnesota. It was, you could set your watch by it. The Raiders don't have that kind of a track record this year. I mean, we're only three games into it, but because of some of the issues that we've been seeing in terms of non-existent running game, very problematic stopping the run. Those are two negatives that are very hard to control games when you can't control those two components. And they haven't done it on a consistent basis.
Small sample size, but they've responded with a win after a loss so far. So let's see it happen again. Let's follow that trend. Let's ride that wave.
Done it again.
So welcome to your 8-9 season.
Where's Raider Ken? Raider Ken needs to hear that.
They've also followed every win with a loss. So... there you go. But you're at point well taken.
Clay, you got us.
Hey, that's the Great Irons Mystery Box. It's great. All right. More to come on the other side. We'll also have a conversation with Sam and Ash at 945, 702-365-9200.
By the way, a lot of talk today about money, right? NIL type money and who got paid, who didn't get paid, who was promised something and who didn't get it. We don't know. Fascinating to keep an eye on that. But it just is the daily reminder that that money rules everything. And sometimes we're all in a position where we need money like right now when we have a hard time figuring out where am I going to find that money. And maybe that's the predicament that you're in right now. Maybe you need to find $500 or $5,000 like tomorrow because you've got something that came up unexpectedly and you're losing some sleep because the credit cards are maxed out. Maybe the credit's not where it needs to be. Well, don't worry about it, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now, cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Just go to LendingStore.com, have their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 in your bank account as early as tomorrow. Go to LendingStore.com for all the details.
Honestly, I expect a whole different team. I expect a team that comes out with a fire, with a passion, right? Like, we know what happened the first 3 weeks. Hey, in the NFL, it's a one, like, you got to take one game at a time, 1 week at a time. So whatever's happened in the past, hey, put that to the past. We got to be focused in the present. So this game, Cleveland Browns, is a perfect opportunity and a perfect challenge to this team to step up, put on a whole different type of effort, and let's show what the Raiders are truly about, and let's get back on track. We can do it.
That was Raiders alumnus Grant Irons on our Once a Raider, Always a Raider segment that you'll find every Wednesday here on the Morning Tailgate. Telling us what he's going to expect. And guess what I just found out, guys? Grant just texted me saying he's going to be at the game this weekend.
All right.
Yes!
He is going to be the alumni ambassador this weekend. So I'm excited to catch up with him a little again. Maybe get a couple more stories out of him. Squeeze some more stories out of him. But he was fantastic this morning.
Yeah, it sounded like Grant was thinking about lawyering up and going back and getting some of that NBC money at Notre Dame and Bob Davie had.
Can you imagine that household between his dad, one of the greats brothers to play for the Cleveland Browns, a storied organization themselves. Yeah. He himself, two-time captain for Notre Dame. His brother, two-time captain for Michigan.
Right.
Did you imagine the conversations
and cousins
football
who
weekend?
Also played in the NFL.
That's right. That's right.
Crazy.
Notre Dame and Michigan, as Clay well knows, used to play every single year too.
I missed that.
That's gone by the wayside. By the way, watching USC at Notre Dame, man, what a beautiful scene it was in Ann Arbor. I don't know what they did with their stands, but it was all color coordinated, and it was kind of it felt like a fall kind of color coordination going
color
on.
Color scheme.
Yeah, like it was. It looked like the leaves would look. You would think that the leaves would look like in Michigan this time of year. I don't know if that was the look that they were going for, because I was watching it at the gym first off, so I never got any clarification from the announcers on what was actually going on. But it looked beautiful. USC kind of gave that one away.
Yeah, just anytime those two teams are on the field, though, it looks right.
And they
right?
haven't
just
they,
the colors, the uniforms.
Last time they played in the regular season,
yeah,
1958.
Whoa,
they've played each other 10 other times. In the Rose Bowl,
but
the granddaddy
58.
Of them all. Yeah, that's they never played in the regular season.
That's just a couple years before me.
But you know what I'm saying? Like those are two programs that saved it for. If we're gonna face each other, it's gonna be in the Rose. It's
make
either
it,
the Rose
make
Bowl
it count.
Or nothing.
Yeah,
that's not gonna happen. Now they're gonna be playing each other probably every couple of years. I don't know how the schedule works in the Big Ten, because nobody plays everybody, right? The Pac-10, by the way, the Pac-12 used to always do that. Everybody played everybody. Yeah. Otherwise, that's why we all laughed.
Which was
at the
beauty of
the
it.
SEC. Yes, exactly.
Because
you don't play everybody
in
the SEC.
Yeah, you really knew who
that's how you figure it out, right? They didn't need a championship game because everybody played each other during the regular season.
Yeah, SEC's like, well, it's a matter of our conference policy. Like, oh, really? That was tabled once
to
not
schedule
play each
three
other?
Yeah. Powder Puffs every single year.
To make sure we get McNeese State in week 8.
Strategically so, by the way.
I mean, it's like
McNeese State just catching strays from Clay. They're getting the Skylar Thompson treatment. Skylar Thompson day-to-day with ribs. I know you were wondering, Vinny.
I should send a card in
day-to-day.
Mail.
Day.
The beloved in this
buddy?
Room.
We'll see what his status is for Sunday.
You owe me. Yeah. You know, Todd Gurley used to tell us all the time, like, he would get DMs from people that, you know, were fantasy or whatever, doing some extracurricular. Yeah. And that's the other offshoot to all this. Clay literally hates a man. Hates a man that he's never met, but just
that he knows
just
of.
Hit him in the pocketbook, hit him where it hurts. That he knows of, right, exactly. That's right.
That knows.
Who knows what Clay is capable of doing?
Second-half bet against the Bills in a playoff game.
Or something might be making sense to Skylar right about now. Like, now I think I know who's been sending me those. But, yeah, it's not that serious. Like, we haven't even gotten into the whole Dan Campbell thing. Or maybe we did. I was on a radio show in L.A., he had to move.
With the house. Yeah, we
did
I think we touched
talk
on
about
that.
It.
Yeah, he had to sell. He's put his house up for sale in a beautiful area called Bloomfield Hills. And
because Cuckoo Heads.
It was because of as somebody that his daughter went to high school with put their home address out on Snapchat.
What a low life.
And the other low lifes followed the directions, got into the gated community. And, it wasn't like they were throwing rocks through the windows. But one way or another, they made people feel very uncomfortable. And next
rightfully so.
And I tell you what, that's why I hate like 2/3 of most Lions fans, because there's a lot of people who are like, that's justified. They should never lose to Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield. Let's get out the pitchforks and the torches and you know, let him know we send a message.
Times
never
have
again.
Certainly changed in Detroit. Like, the best thing that ever happened to you is Dan Campbell, and you're gonna run him out of town. What's going on with the water?
They don't like success.
What's your problem, Clay?
Yeah, right. And it's just that's really sad, because especially for you know, your family having to be like, all right, let's move away from our beautiful home. But you couldn't get any better spot to live in than where he's at now. So now what?
Yeah, right. That's rough.
Off to where would you go from there?
Toledo. Go to a completely different state. From the text line 702-365-9200. Robin Oakland, how poorly the team played, I'm not sure asking, quote, what was a bigger factor, bad coaching or poor effort, is the best question, because I'm asking myself whether we're going to continue to be outcoached and why we continue to buckle under our expectations. I think both factors were apparent on Sunday, and both are independently worrisome. That's my expectations, Rob in Oakland.
Yeah, and that's why I'm a little bit conflicted with what Antonio Pierce said. Because I know we all love the frankness, we all love the honesty, but I'm talking about, like, I put part of what our job, Vince, is to put ourselves in other people's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what we're in the media, we're fantastic with it. The more the better, right?
We beg for sound bites like that.
Correct.
We beg for players, coaches to say exactly what they're thinking.
So from our perspective, obviously. But there's different layers to this.
There's posturing.
And there's 53 dudes in a locker room, 70 or so if you count the practice squad, that you have to be aware of and how that lands there. And if we're hearing things about film don't lie, and there's people talking about how maybe the Raiders also got out coached. I know that Antonio has been pretty, you know, like, hey, it starts with us, you know, but he also clarified one time. The cliche, it starts with us. But that offensive line, basically, you put them on notice, right?
He was like, all right, national media.
I got to say this.
National media, here's your line. Starts
right.
with me.
So,
but for right. you guys, it's these guys.
Right.
It's those five guys.
Exactly. And when you see some evidence, or at least some evidence that strengthens the argument in some corners that actually they kind of got out coached. Now there's all sorts of fingers that are getting pointed, and maybe some of the players in there are like, you're going to question my integrity. I kind of wonder about the coaching, you know, what you're asking us to do. Like, all of that gets introduced here, and I don't think that's necessarily healthy for the team itself. For everyone else, you know, it's talking points and articles and reports on Vince's show over on Fox Channel 5, but how healthy is it inside that locker room?
Well, one thing I do know, Mark Davis is at least smiling today. The Aces back in the semis.
Mm-hmm.
Who we got?
Strong. New York Liberty.
Oh.
This feels
final.
It.
You got it. You got to play them.
It's like their final. Yeah.
This feels like the final.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Minnesota's good. Caitlin Clark making it a 1-1 series with the Connecticut Sun. So, but yeah, you feel like, and basically the gist around the league, whoever comes out of this one.
What's check what Aces' record is against Minnesota?
This during the regular season, I believe it's not very good. I think
that's
Minnesota's beating them.
I was at one of those games.
Yeah,
felt like a matchup problem to me.
Mm.
A little bit of a matchup issue. There's some
so
size
saying,
over in Minnesota.
So you're saying even if the Aces get out of the woods with the Liberty, whoa!
Yes,
wowza!
Yeah, and I'm speaking. I'm sure Becky would be saying the same exact thing, because. Go look at the. I know I saw a loss and it was.
We need another parade.
Yeah. Well, that would be great.
We need another parade on
that
the strip, Vinny.
Fantastic. But don't be counting those chickens just because you do get. And obviously, everyone's rooting for the Aces.
It's going to be a great series.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great series.
This is, to your point, this is the marquee matchup without question. But there would be another step to take care of after that.
Before we go, Raider 10, it's okay. We're going to get through this, and we're going to hit that positivity hard tomorrow.
It's like that moment in Goodwill Hunting where it's like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Get away from me, Sean. It's not your fault. Ken. And I'll tell you what, as soon as Ken went up there, St. Louis Raider D is like, Ken, I'll take those tickets, man. Like, and immediately the people are like, oh, yeah just get Ken my number.
Yeah, how many when he said that? Was that, what, there's tickets?
Oh, there's tickets still. Okay. All right, coming up next, it's Sam and Ash, Injury Law. Ash, the attorney, we'll talk to Ash about the Mountain West and dealing with the Pac-12. Pac-12 not happy with some of their demands and some dealings. As also, we'll talk about the NIL money with Matt Saluka and UNLV, all that and more. It's Raider Nation Radio here on a Wednesday. All right, here we go. It's time to get street legal with Ash Watkins from Sam and Ash Injury Law. The new phone number, 702-303-0333, samandashlaw.com, available both in Nevada and in California. Ash, thank you so much for being with us. Listen, there's some crazy stuff going on right now, but there is obviously a wake-up call in the NFL for both the Raiders and the Cowboys. As you saw firsthand, how do you think that responds now, especially two teams with high expectations, and they're coming off a stinging loss at home? What do you expect in week four?
I expect victory.
Right?
Come on. I'm a functioning Cowboys fan. I go into every week delusional and expecting victory. And, you know, just like week three, they get my hopes up at the end that they might pull something out, like a little bunny out of a hat, and they let me crash right back down into reality. So disappointing week three for the Cowboys and also the Raiders. Man, what happened?
Oh, there was a lot of head shaking going on. That's for sure. No cigars in the locker room after that loss to the Panthers. But, you know, when you think about delusion, do you ever feel like in our current context between the Pac-12 Athletic Conference and the Mountain West, that the Mountain West seems to be acting under some sort of delusion that they are still a power and that they are still in control? And maybe you have to do that when you're a commissioner to go and tell your member schools, hey, we are still a stable organization. But as the Pac-12 filed a legal complaint yesterday over millions of dollars in penalties that the Mountain West feels like it is owed in the acquisition of five Mountain West schools. In fact, the complaint detailed that this penalty is unlawful. Discuss what that means, because there's an argument that they violate antitrust laws. Does that relate to actual competition with college athletics, especially now when we see the crazy amount of realignment going on?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I mean, whether or not the Mountain West is a powerhouse, I think a lot of that is determined by perspective. I mean, when you look at the Mountain West up against, I don't know, the SEC or the Big Ten, like, no, they're not a powerhouse. But when you're looking at the Pac-12, which last year had two members, okay, you know, you've got confidence. And this whole poaching provision is what this is about. It's an agreement that the Mountain West entered into with the Pac-12 to schedule games while the Pac-12 was doing their realignment. And of course, the Mountain West knew there was a risk that its teams would be lured over and tempted to go to the Pac-12, which has a bigger name with media deals and some bigger schools. And so in that scheduling agreement, they went ahead and kept a provision in there to penalize the Pac-12 should any of its schools end up leaving the Mountain West for the Pac-12. Right now, the Pac-12 is challenging it, saying it's unenforceable, illegal, it doesn't promote fair trade and competition, which, you know, at first blush, right, it doesn't. But then the Mountain West is arguing, you signed it. Mm-hmm. You are sophisticated. You have smart, expensive lawyers that saw this provision and read it and allowed you to agree to it. And while that works sometimes, the Pac-12, when they signed that agreement, they had no leverage. They obviously needed to schedule games for the existing teams and the remaining teams, and they needed to get something done. And very well, their lawyers at that moment could have said, hey, to push this through, agree to this term, because the Mountain West, this is a material, important, necessary term for them. They will not budge off of it. And we're confident that later on, should any of those teams come over and they try to enforce this provision, we're confident that we can challenge it in the courtroom and be successful, or at least delay payment.
Okay, so, I was thinking about that, like, how long can this go on? because there might be a dissolution of the Mountain West Conference if this is delayed, you know, another 5 years, 8 years. We'll see what that conference looks like. But at the same time, these are member schools that are from state-run organizations, a military institution like Air Force. Like, at some point, the schools are backed by, I would have to think, by the state saying, we have to get the best possible deal. We need to have revenue that is commensurate for our success going forward. And it hasn't been working with this current affiliation with the Mountain West. Why do we need to stick around? And why are you posting these $17 million penalties?
Yeah, I mean, very well. Each school is constantly making decisions on whether or not the current conference they're in and aligned with is in the best interests of the school. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. And some schools even make that evaluation and go, it doesn't make sense for our football team to be in this conference. All other teams should be in this conference, but not football. So we see this all the time. And if there is some... The surprising thing is there's no, I guess, what I would say a temporary restraining order or what we call an injunction being filed at this time to stop these schools from leaving the Mountain West, which would signify to, you know, the public that, hey, if these schools are allowed to leave, the Mountain West is now damaged beyond repair.
Right.
So that's what you're looking for. The Mountain West hasn't signaled anything like that. But if they do file something to try and prevent the schools from leaving, it likely won't succeed. But also that would tell you and forecast that they're concerned about their future livelihood, I guess.
Ash Watkins at Ash the Attorney on X with Sam and Ash Injury Law. SamandAshLaw.com, available both in Nevada and in California with the new phone number 702-303-0333. Real quick, with just a few minutes left, what were your thoughts on quarterback for UNLV and UNLV football? That's why we can't have anything nice. Matthew Saluka has already announced that he's leaving the team because of representations that were not upheld. And now it's a situation he's transferring out before Saturday's game. How do you feel like the implications of his statements and the broader issue of players' rights mixed in with the institutional obligations in college athletics? Is this something that we're going to see more of as players are looking at, like, by week three, week four, I'm either in or I'm out, and they hold these schools to the fire?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as soon as name, image, and likeness came down, it really changed, and the transfer portal, it really changed the dynamics where the schools truly had to live up to the promises they make during recruiting. Previously, you know, the schools would still have to live up to it, but the process of leaving and transferring was almost punitive to college athletes and made it very difficult. Now it's not, and these kids are going to be constantly making their own personal business decisions. You told me X, Y, and Z were going to happen mm-hmm. if I came and played for you. I'm here. X, Y, and Z aren't happening, and you've now indicated that you have no intention of making it happen. I'm out. I'm not going to play anymore. I need to do what's in my own best interest. And frankly, with athletes, you know, they've got time. They've got time, and years give them more experience.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this is a fascinating case because now we're going to find out how, you know, universities like UNLV could take, you know, steps to ensure and to protect themselves. You know, as this goes on and on, Ash, we ran out of time. Thank you so much for making time on a busy day for you. Thanks again. Let's do it again next Saturday, and we'll continue this conversation on Saluka, the Pac-12 of Mountain West. We appreciate it.
All right. Have a great one, Clive.
Thank you. At Ash the Attorney on X, Sam and Ash Law, here on Raider Nation Radio, 702-303-0333. For Vince, for Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Rich Eisen is next here on Raider Nation.